Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, Poppy, what the hell are we drinking?
I have a special present for you guys today. I have purchased the, hold on, I'm going to say it wrong, Bud Light Seltzer Fall Flannel Limited Edition Variety Pack for us to try. And the first one we are drinking is the Apple Crisp.
Okay, just a moment, Xander. I have to capture this moment.
So this is a hard seltzer. It's not beer, but it's made by Bud Light. It's made by Anheuser-Busch.
Notes of apple acetone. Oh, God, no.
What is that?
That's...
What is that flavor?
I am finding... Well, this doesn't reach the level of Bikers, Dice, and Bars War Crimes liquor.
Oh, gosh, no.
But
no,
it's not good.
Oh, man.
This tastes like Jones Cola and Budweiser got together.
Mm-hmm.
And someone at Budweiser said, hey, Jones, you know, you guys have that holiday pack that is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Let's seriously make that into alcohol.
Yeah, I am detecting like apple candy flavor and like artificial whipped cream flavor.
What the fuck is that?
So it claims water.
I believe you.
Cold fermented cane sugar.
I believe that.
Natural flavors.
I don't believe that.
Cane sugar, citric acid, sodium citrate, and malted rice.
What is Apple Crisp?
Apple Crisp.
Yeah, I mean, it's got that weird apple candy trying to be an actual apple baked apple crisp thing with this weird artificial whipped cream note to it. Mm-hmm. It's just like...
Oh, God.
So, you know, I try and not yuck on a lot of other people's yums. And to that extent, I actually started drinking more hard seltzers. I used to not like them. And the more I drank them, the more I'm like, oh, okay. But I could do this regularly. They don't give me a headache and whatever. So I started to like a bunch of hard seltzers. No. And this is going in the garbage tonight.
NPC, you said you've tried some hard seltzers lately and have gotten to enjoy them. Have you tried the regular Bud Light seltzer? Not the holiday pack.
I don't know, actually. I don't know. I don't think we have. I know we've seen it. And I think every time I've seen it, I've skipped it and gotten something else.
Okay, I just wanted to know if perhaps this is just a garbage version of their product or maybe all their products might be garbage.
I was actually expecting this to be better. I mean, it's not like the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth, okay?
Speaking of the worst things that we've ever put in our mouths that we were expecting to be better, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Poor Lenore again. I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
I'm Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
And I am Mistress Poppy Beaujolais.
And I apologize for cutting you off, but it was too good of a moment. I had to.
That is okay. That checks out. Yeah, this is by far not the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth.
It's still better than White Claw.
I don't think I've ever had White Claw.
White Claw is weird because it really depends on the flavor. They range from tolerable to not quite Geneva Convention crimes, but getting close.
Now, what if MD 2020 made a hard seltzer?
What if you took White Claw Mango and mixed it with Crime Scene MD?
That sounds like...
You'd have CSI Miami.
What if I've already done that to see exactly how it would turn out.
Like special victims unit. No, here's why I was expecting this to be better. Back in the day, Anheuser-Busch used to make a Doc Otis, which was a hard lemonade.
Yep.
And around the same time, they tested out in a couple of test markets, I suppose, the Doc Apple, which was a hard apple cider type of concoction. And it was actually really good, at least for my like 19 to 20 year old palate or whatever I had back then. Then this is a seltzer, not a beer, not a cider. It's a hard seltzer. And it's just not, it's not really doing it for me.
Okay, the thing that I don't understand is why they would put this out under the Bud Light name instead of the Budweiser name. And now that I'm tasting this, it is so light in flavoring, just to the point of being obnoxious. It tries and then just fails. But the fact that it tried upsets me.
I'll tell you why. It's because they...
So
What happened was, it very clearly on the front of the can says 5% alcohol and 100 calories. So this is being marketed to white ladies who are watching their calories. So that's why they're putting it under Bud Light and not Budweiser, would be my guess.
And a lot of the hard seltzers are marketed that way because they are lower calorie than heavier beers.
Yeah, but I've had seltzers that have more prominent flavors than this. And that's, again, why I'm upset by this.
One thing that does bother me about this seltzer is that you look at it and it looks like any other clear seltzer. Maybe it's got a little bit of a shade to the color, but you would think that this would be smoother than it is.
Yeah.
But it leaves a very thick, syrupy aftertaste that I don't like. And no other seltzers that I've had so far of the hard seltzer variety have this problem.
I think it's that apple crisp, like they're trying to get that like oat streusel topping kind of flavor.
Oh, it does taste oaty.
Yeah, it's kind of oaty, and that's, I don't want that in this. Yeah, I don't want to drink that. Yeah. The cans are adorable though.
Okay, yeah, I will.
They've got their little flannel shirts on.
I will give them a solid B plus, A minus, the design of the can, which is the nicest thing I'm going to say about this particular product.
And the label is like a little pocket. It looks like a little pocket on your flannel.
Okay.
Their marketing game is strong.
Yes.
It's a solid looking can. Poppy bought a fall pack because I think she just hates us.
I think she just hates you.
Oh. Fair.
I hate you all equally.
So, now that we've enjoyed this beverage...
Thank you, mispronounced hated.
Oh, well. What are we talking about tonight, Xander?
Hails from the rails!
Yeah, Xander and I both have worked as professional bartenders. Xander is still in the field. Other than moonlighting every once in a while on private gigs, I am out. But one of the things you find as a bartender is you manage to acquire some of the weirdest and strangest stories from working as a bartender. And we're going to share one apiece with you tonight. And if you like this, maybe we can revisit it.
There's a lot more rails with tails. Okay. Am I going first again?
How about you go first?
God, Jesus Christ.
Or I can.
Okay, this is Summer Edgefield. I can now tell this story because I don't work there anymore. This is Edgefield. A couple of summers ago, I am a bartender trainer. I got this little baby bartender under me. I am working the Tea House Bar, which was my least favorite bar to work at. Because you have the pool side you have to serve, and then people can walk in on the front side as well. So sometimes you got two lines that form, and it fucking sucked. Mm. And all the cocktails are super complicated to make with dumb ingredients, and they all require like double shaking with a bunch of ice, and you have the world's smallest ice well. It was ridiculous. Anyways, I got my trainee there. My parents are visiting. It's also the world's smallest bar. It has a table. seats maybe five, and five is crowded.
Mm-hmm.
My folks are there. I make them a nice drink because they like my bartending because I'm decent at my job.
And this modest man.
Oh, it's probably about 5 o'clock in the early evening. And this woman comes up from the poolside and she comes up and says to me, "So there's a couple in the backside of the pool." And keep in mind, you can only see about a third of the pool from the bar. The rest of it loops around another building. So you can only see about 30, 40% of it.
And by pool,
I mean a hot soaking pool.
The soaking pool, yeah.
The hot soaking pool. This woman comes up and says, "Just, you know, there's a couple around the bend over there and they are definitely doing it." And I went, "Okay." So I can't leave my bar.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a trainee there.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to the radio and call security. Let them fucking deal with it.
Yep.
And then so there's a different channel for security than it is for, you know, small bars communications and front desk and whatever. So I change it to security channel. I'm like, "This is going to be good, guys. We got to listen to this." You know, so I listen to the whole interaction. It is, you know, the head of security saying, "We need someone to go to the pool, stop these people from fucking." Not her, not the words she used, but I see security come in. And, you know, he comes back out and goes, "Made contact with them, told them whatever they're doing, knock it out."
Mm-hmm.
Wait, knock it out or knock it off?
Fuck.
Knock it out the park, man.
Go.
Oh, yeah. It gets better.
Forget third base. Go for the home run.
I just dive right in.
I know where this is going. I'm trying to predict if this is a television show and the cast members that have been announced so far, what their roles are and the big reveal. So keep going.
I'm
going
to keep. Yeah, all right, let's do this. Same woman comes back about 15, 20 minutes later. And says, "Just so you know, they're doing it again." And at this point, my trainee looks at me and goes, "Does this happen often in the pool?" To which I say, "I've heard sometimes."
Mm-hmm.
She goes, "Okay, just want to know what I'm going to be dealing with." My parents at this point are just cackling. They are just...
Wait, your parents?
My parents...
Okay.
Okay, Pop, you gotta follow the story, all right?
Why are your parents there?
Because they were visiting.
That's how I started off the story.
Okay,
was
okay, I'm sorry. I got so entranced with the... I'm sorry. Okay, your parents are there.
Okay, so just so I can get the picture now, your parents are in the room with you.
Yep, they're in the tea house
bar.
They're
in the bar.
For some reason, yeah. I thought this was about to be the big reveal that it was his parents.
Oh.
And I was going to be like, "Fuck, yeah."
Damn it, Dad.
No, the very first part of the story was I'm in the bar with the trainee and my parents are in the bar with me and it's the world's smallest bar. That was
technically, you mentioned your parents and you mentioned the table, but you never actually said your parents were at the table.
Anyways.
Well, they weren't there sitting on the bench.
Okay, so your parents are there.
Your parents are there.
Got it. I'm caught up. Thank you.
Your family of Brujo were sitting there cackling away.
This is how you were made, sweetie.
Jesus Christ. I have to give a speech at their 40-year wedding anniversary next week, you assholes.
You should tell this story.
I will, but not during the speech. Okay. So, yeah, woman comes back, says they're doing it again. I have to call security again. And security goes, you know, I hear them over the radio, like, told them this is their, like, you know, final warning. If this happens again, like, no, like. It's now about 6 o'clock. Woman comes back for the third time. And she's like, "Seriously, they're going at it again." And I'm like, "I am so sorry." I don't know what else to tell her. So I call security again. And the head of security just goes, "Yeah, they're done. Like, kick them out." So then I hear over the radio, "Made contact with guests, told them they had to leave. Guests said it wasn't them, but I could tell that it was." To this day, I don't know what he meant by that.
Yeah.
Other guest goes, "In case you need video evidence, I filmed them." I hear over the radio, security goes, "But I declined." So they were hotel guests. They kick him back out to the room. And you're like, you can't come back to the soaking pool anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's at this point that I look over to the part that I can see and realize there are children in this pool.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And that what this couple was doing would be considered to be a felony sex crime.
Yep.
Had anybody pushed the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I just went, well, that's going to be a hard one to top.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of my favorite tales from the rails was the time I was having a trainee. My parents were sitting in the bar with me and I had to deal with a federal sex crime.
Yeah.
I mean,
allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly. I mean, and nobody in the pool said or did anything.
The woman kept coming up and saying, you got to stop these people from fucking in the pool.
But, like, the people there who had their children with them didn't go up to these people and say, like, hey, you need to stop fucking.
Well, mm-hmm. They probably couldn't see. But the way that the pool is arranged is kind of like a horseshoe shape. So if you're at one part of the pool, and there's these little islands that are full of plants and whatnot. So
okay. You
can be at one end of the pool and not know what the fuck is happening at the other end of the pool very easily at this particular soaking pool. Now, if this were the one in Bend, that'd be almost impossible to hide.
Right.
So we're not telling people that they should go to the soaking pool and go fuck in the corner.
Please don't.
Please don't. Okay,
actually, hold on. I don't work there anymore. You do you. It's freedom of choice. But no, seriously, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Especially when there's children in the pool. Just, what is wrong with you?
Like, I am a sex positive person, but like nobody there consented to seeing that. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was their point.
No, that's called fucking paraphilia. That's not sex positivity. Yeah, that's.
Well, the other thing, too, is. Okay, so after 8 p.m., that all the soaking pools in the McMinniman's Empire are 21 and over. At that point, that's still fucked up, but not as fucked up. Before 8 p.m., when there are children in the pool. Good God. Yeah. Good God, man.
Good God, Lemon.
I said good day.
That's pretty messed up. I could tell it was them. Like, oh, what did he see?
Exactly.
Oh, poor buddy.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a look at them?
No, they were escorted out the backside. Because there's two exits. Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, I see.
So what happened was... there are two exits from the... Nope.
Jacob, you got a story?
Yeah, I got a story.
Oh, right. Y'all only have two exits. Weird.
So anyways, I was one of the bartending crew at one of the largest college bars in the big city next to where I worked. And it was winter midterms. Oh, most importantly, it was the last day of winter midterms. Now, this being the upper Midwest, we'd been dealing with blizzards. We'd had, as of this morning, I mean, midterm week ends up being pretty quiet, except that last night where everybody's done with midterms and everybody goes out drinking and dancing.
Ugh.
And I mean, drinking and dancing. This was one of the biggest tip nights. Like, the crew was locked, stocked, ready to rock, you know, we were down for this. However, there'd been blizzards with glaze icing, and we'd had two deliveries canceled already, and we had only a third. Now, we'd been running lean on our back stock, and so our kegs were low. Everything was, you know, really tight. But, and we were like, okay, well, we've two deliveries are down, but our keg supplier will be fine and he's bringing the bottles as well. So life will be good and we'll be able to move forward, right? We'll be able to get through this. Maybe it won't be one of those $1,500 a person tip nights, but, you know, it would have been decent. And suddenly we hear this crunch sound from upstairs because this bar was in the basement of the building. And this was a large building, many different businesses in it. And we hear this crunch sound. And suddenly this guy comes running down the stairs into the bar and goes, your delivery truck just skidded into the parking lot and flipped on its side.
So that sounds like the beginning of an RPG adventure, and zombies then happen at next. Right? Yeah.
NPC, they're called freshmen, okay?
Yeah. Night of the Living Freshmen. College edition.
No, not college. Winter edition.
So the head bartender, myself, the head of security, all go running upstairs because we're like, oh God, no, this is the only delivery we're getting today. And we're fucked. As it is, our hard liquor stocks are, you know, half bottles on the shelf and shit. And we get up there and this delivery truck is on its side. The far side, the net, which is now up, has its roller shutters, which apparently he hadn't secured or whatever.
Oh,
had
no.
Retracted, and bottles were foaming all over the place. There was a keg spinning around in the middle of the parking lot because it had become untapped and was bouncing off cars.
Oh, my God.
So that is how we rolled into the end of winter midterms, one of the busiest, biggest nights of the year for us, one of the most profitable nights of the year for us, with only like six kegs and almost no backup and almost no hard liquor. It was a disaster.
Oh my God. So did all the bottles shatter?
Well, we couldn't accept any of them because the ones that weren't shattered were covered in beer.
That sounds like an easy fix.
Yeah, well, you know, there's weird rules.
They didn't want to pay for them either, I'm sure.
Yeah, because if, A, would you want to sit in the parking lot, start them all out, B, wash them all out when you're 3 hours away from start time, and C, the delivery company wanted to be able to just write off the entire load for insurance. So,
heard.
Yeah.
I really love the image of a busted keg like flying around.
It was hysterical. It was like, because the parking lot was glazed ice, it's spinning in a circle, bouncing off this car,
kids out there just sort of leaning over, like waiting for a spray of beer to come at their face while this bomb is going off, you know?
I just like this being the newest version of beer pong. Just bing, bing. Bing, bing.
Amazing.
Keg pinball.
Keg pinball.
Yeah. Keg ball. Keg ball.
Keg ball.
Keg ball.
Yep.
Keg ball.
Yep.
Yeah. Keg ball.
No, it was insane. This was a night I'd worked before, and the last time I'd worked it, I took home $1,100 in tips for split. Like, this was a town with two community colleges, four other colleges in the immediate vicinity. We pulled massive numbers that just rotated through the bar all night. Mm-hmm. You know, people, and a lot of our drinks were set up so you had a 50 cent leftover after you paid for your drink. And we just got the 50 cents because people just said keep the change rather than grabbing quarters. And to say that we pushed out thousands of drinks, which is one reason I cut the limes the way I do, is...
Oh boy, here we go.
Shots fired. Is an understatement. Like thousands of drinks on a busy night was not uncommon. So,
and this was where?
Duluth, Minnesota.
Duluth, okay.
Yeah.
There will be an episode at one point in which Jacob and I have a garnish fight, and it's going to be beautiful.
Garnish fight. That should be a live stream.
Garnish, darn it.
So, yeah. Those are some of the many tales from the rail that Xander and I have. If you're interested in hearing more of the life of a bartender in all of its glory and infamy, feel free to drop us a line on our Discord and we'll bring you more.
Tune in next time for more tales from the rail.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol, get going. Drink up, drink up, drink up, then order again.
Yeah, all right, NPC.
Well, that was that.
That was that.
So that happened.
So what had happened was...
Any final thoughts on our drinks?
No.
Oh my God, it's only going to get worse. I'm sorry.
Was the pinnacle?
This was, I thought, going to be the best of the batch. So we can do smaller ones, Andrew. That's why I got you the trash can. Y'all didn't hear it off mic because this is shit balls. Because this is radio. I took the trash can and put it next to Xander just in case we have another crime scene incident.
That's wise. Good forward thinking there.
Yeah, you're appreciate welcome. It. Yeah, yeah, the Adderall's kicked in. Now able to focus. Yeah.
All right, folks, let's go ahead and close this out. This was Bikers, Dice, and Bars, Portland, Oregon. I'm NBC.
I'm Just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
I am Poppy Beaujolais.
And again,
always keep it shiny side up.
Always tip your bartender.
Always roll them crits, dog.
And please always drink responsibly.
Thanks for joining us,
friends. We've reached the end.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your car. But Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Yep.
Who are these?
Oh, you're supposed to wait.
Go ahead and pour them, and then we can just make the thing for another one.
Okay.
I can recycle that sound, too.
Is that how sound effects work? Jesus Christ. Yeah.
I'm thinking I would like to get Alan and Eleanor back.
Yes.
And do more Mothership.
Yeah. I would love to.
That was a lot of fucking fun.
And Alan really wants to do it, too.
Yeah.
I've talked to him about it. He was like, he wants to do Mothership again. And I just want to see how much fucking further Jolly the Roger can possibly fucking go. Yeah. What the fuck, Alan?